well, maybe I attempted breakdancing. Is that a better way to say it? Okay. And I will tell you that I used to wear, when I was in junior high, I wore what were called parachute pants. Okay, well, we have a picture there. I don't know that I would ever suggest that you wear parachute pants ever again. I certainly wouldn't wear them again. But I want you to know that back when I was in junior high, there was a little movie called Footloose that came out. And there was a guy in Footloose that did some breakdancing in Footloose. And then it was followed by movies called Breaking and Electric Boogaloo and Electric Boogaloo 2, which I assume was the sequel. I'm not sure I saw it. But I will tell you a funny story with my wife, my now wife. When I moved to Oklahoma, her neighbor was having a birthday party, and her name was Tasha, and there was a new guy in town named Bron, that's me, and they invited me over to the birthday party, and I brought my breakdancing cardboard with me. And, man, we're being vulnerable, aren't we? And I remember it had a handle on it, and what would happen is it kind of folded up like a little suitcase, and I brought it in, and I was going to proceed to unleash the cardboard into a floor, big square, so I could do some of my break dancing. Okay, it's a true story. And somehow I'm married to that lady right now. I don't know how that happened. But the song, just so you all know, now I wasn't a guy that did what was called in the business floor work, all right? Those were the guys that got down on the ground and did all the windmills and backspins. You all remember the windmill? It was like your shoulder, your legs went everywhere. That'd be like a guy that was doing basically gymnastics on the floor, and I was the guy who couldn't climb the rope in gym class, so I wasn't going to be able to do gymnastics. I was not strong enough to do that. So I was more what they call up top when you do that kind of stuff. And so the song, I'm going to have them play the song here that was popular. You might recognize this. Go ahead and kick that for me if you will. Yes, y'all remember this song? This was a song, some of you younger people are going, no. This was a song by Herbie Hancock, and so we'd start. Okay, and that's what we would do. Okay, now, hey. I think I might have pulled something right there. You get my age, it's not a good idea to do that anymore. But, so hey, the reason I tell you that story is I want you to hear this. It would be really silly tonight if after our small group time, we're up there on the second floor and I bring my cardboard and I have my parachute pants back on and I start doing breakdancing. That would be really strange, okay? And here's what I want you to think about tonight is that in 1 Peter 4, it talks about what is strange for the believer, okay? And what should be strange for us is that we should not live in hidden sin. Okay, we should not stay in sin if we know Christ. It doesn't mean we're going to be sinless, but it means through the Spirit's power that we can sin less. Okay? And so I want to read 1 Peter 4 here to you. It says this. I'm going to read the NIV for just a minute. It says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but for the will of God. So I think that first verse is kind of saying, hey, once you've identified with Christ, if you are a believer tonight, you have put your trust in what Jesus did on the cross for you. You said, man, I can't save myself. My works can't save me. I trust in what Jesus did for me. He took my sin on the cross. He died for my sin. He conquered sin and death. He rose again that I might have life. And so if you have put your trust in Christ, I love what it says there. It says they don't live the rest of their earthly lives for human desires, but rather for the will of God. So you got to ask yourself when you read the scripture, what does the rest of our earthly lives mean? And what I think it means is, right here, it's saying when you come to Christ, you have a new life in Christ until you die, until you go be with the Lord, because if you put your trust in Christ, you'll go to be with him in heaven. For the rest of your earthly lives, your lives should be different. And my life should be different, not because we muster the strength or because we try to change ourselves, but because we know Jesus and his spirit is at work in us. And so I want you guys to be thinking about this tonight. Oh, look at this next verse. It says, for if you have spent enough time, verse 3, for you've spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Pagans, another word for non-believers. Living in debauchery, that'd be like sensuality, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. I want you to be thinking about this. I want you to ask the Lord, kind of the whole time that I'm sharing tonight, what is the thing right now that the Lord would say, you have spent enough time doing that? He's saying you don't have to stay in the middle of that sin that is entangling you and snaring you and trapping you. I've come that you might have freedom in Christ. And so I want you to be asking the Lord, Lord, what's something in my life right now that I've just spent enough time, and would your spirit convict me about that? Okay, so I want you to think, what's the thing that you've spent enough time doing? If you noticed in those that list of sins, debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, it starts out as individual things, and then it moves to you're including others. And isn't that the way sin works? A lot of times, not all the time, but if we start thinking, I'm gonna flirt with sin, I'll start to do some things on my own, and then as it goes, it grows, and sin leads to more sin, and then it doesn't just take life from me, it takes life from others. And if we're in Christ, our life should be, man, I don't want to take life from others. I don't want, the John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And here's what I want to tell you. It is strange for us as believers to go, I'm going to keep in that sin. I'm going to keep in this hidden, enslaving sin. Romans 6 says we're not to be slaves to our flesh anymore. We're to be slaves to righteousness because of a relationship with Jesus that changes everything. Now, hear me clearly. I'm not talking about you changing. I'm talking about the Spirit convicting, changing, empowering you to be free from sin. That's what I'm talking about. And not perfect. Don't hear me say that. But like we said, sinning less because the Lord wants to set us free. So here's what I think. There's three types of people in the room tonight. The first one I want to address is that you might be a believer here who is living in the past. You are going, man, you're hiding sin. You're living what I would call a double life. Okay, you are tempted to go, man, I want to give off a certain impression, but the reality is I don't want anybody to know what really is going on with me. I don't think that's where the Lord would have the believer. I think that is abnormal for a follower of Christ. Okay, and so that might be you. And as strange as it was for me, if I was going to break dance, you should think it's even more strange to live in hidden sin. You should go, man, Lord, I don't want to stay there. Galatians 5:1 talks about how Christ has come that we might be free. It's for freedom that Christ has died, and we're not to be enslaved by sin anymore. That's all throughout the scripture. Hebrews 3:13 is one verse I want you to recognize. When we have hidden sin and we give into it, we're feeding our flesh. It says, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know what two words really stand out for me? Hardened. Okay, your heart becomes hardened. And I don't know if you guys have been in a season, and maybe you're in one tonight, and I just want you to hear, the Lord loves you and he wants something better for you. Okay? Because it, like we talked about in 1 Peter 2, taste and see that the Lord is good, and we can go to him each day. And so I'm wondering if sin, what I think sin does in my life, when I let it fester and continue, it begins to harden my heart towards sin. And you know what? I start to give myself a pass. I'm tempted to do that. And also, the other thing, the word that I see there is the deceitfulness of sin. The word says that Satan is the father of lies, and he wants you to believe lies. He wants you to believe that no one should ever know that sin you're struggling with. He wants you to believe that you shouldn't confess. He wants you to believe that no one else is struggling when we know that's not true. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in that place, I want you to think about Lord, how could I practice what your word tells me? How do I keep myself from becoming hardened by sin's deceitfulness? Okay, the second person is in the room, potentially not, is maybe you're new to gather, maybe you're new to church, maybe you grew up in a church that you never really heard the gospel. This happens all the time, where people grew up in church, but they go, man, I don't know if I ever really heard the good news of Christ. I thought that I had to earn my way for God to love me. I thought I was just trying to be a good person, and none of us can do that. And so that might be you tonight. If you remember week one, Bobby talked about salvation that we have in Christ and how it sets us free. And so tonight, if you have never put your trust in Christ, if you go, man, I don't know that I could even, Bron, I don't even know if I could tell you what the gospel is, that it's the good news, that it's a free gift to us. It's not something we earn. God lavishes his love upon us. He gives us the gift of grace, and he justifies us before the Father because the Son died for us. So if that's you tonight, man, I personally would love to talk to you. One of your leaders have the name tags on, would love to talk to you. We just want to share with you the good news of Christ because it's an amazing story of what God has done for you and for me. Or the third person in the room is someone who would say, man, you're a believer and you're walking for the most part in freedom. Maybe you used to be enslaved to sin, like all of us before we came to Christ, at some level we were. But you're a believer and you're walking in freedom, and the Lord would remind you tonight of how good it is to know him and walk with him. When you think about the story, you remember the story of the Israelites when they were in Egypt. If you don't know the story, they were being enslaved by the Egyptians, and God eventually sets them free by he sends these plagues to Egypt, and the Pharaoh finally relents and says, man, I'm going to let them go. And they go out into the wilderness, and God's with them, and he's parting seas, and he's providing food for them, and he's a cloud by day, he's a pillar of fire by night, he's with them. And there were, even in the midst of that, when they were seeing God show up like he was, they were tempted to go, man, maybe we should go back to Egypt, because they were in this place of going, I have to trust the Lord. And I hope as you think about any slavery like that of sin, like when they looked at Egypt when they were enslaved, that as you look back at sin as a follower of Christ, you go, man, I don't want to go even close to that because I know there is no life there. And so if that's you tonight, you ought to be so grateful to God. Lord, thank you for reminding me again that when I chase stuff that the world tells me is going to give me life, it always leaves me wanting. It will never satisfy. So it's one of those three places, I think. And so I want to encourage you. I want to tell you a story. I have a friend, a guy that's a close friend of mine. And his story, about 65 days ago, he was caught in some sexual sin that was owning him. And it was the sin of pornography. He was looking at pornography, started out just a little bit. And the way I would describe that is he was drinking poison. He started going, man, I'm just going to keep going to it. And like it looked good to him for a while, and it started out as just, I'm just going to kind of flirt with this. And as sin does, it grew. And then every day he was drinking a big cup of poison. And I remember as he kind of got caught in that sin and I was talking with him, I remember his heart was hardened. He was frustrated. He was callous towards his sin. He didn't have godly sorrow towards it. He was just kind of frustrated that it was kind of coming into the light. And I remember thinking, I remember talking with him, and here's what I told him. I said, it's like this. It's like the Lord, the Spirit, you are a follower of Christ. You know Jesus, and you spend enough time drinking poison every day, is what I told him. And what you really want to do is, the Spirit is like a big 44-ounce cup of ice water from Sonic that you could drink every day. It's available to you because the Spirit is in you if you put your trust in Christ. And so you have that opportunity to drink from the Lord. And his mercies are new, what? Every morning. And so what was happening with him was he was drinking poison, and then he was taking a little Dixie cup of spiritual things. It's like he's drinking poison. He said, you know what? I'm going to go to church, take a little sip of that. I'm going to even be about spiritual things. I'll be in, you know, meeting with other people and kind of do that. And he was not taking advantage of what the Lord had for him to sow to his spirit. That's what the word talks about, sowing to your spirit. And how do we sow the spirit? We spend time in God's word. We pray. We seek him. And we can do that every day. Do y'all know that the veil's been torn? You have access to the Father because of what Jesus did. He was the great high priest, and now you have a relationship with the Father through the Son by the power of the Spirit. If you know Christ, that's who you are. You are in Christ, and you don't have to walk like a non-believer. You don't have to spend any more days wasting your time. You've spent enough time living in that. And here's what we're tempted to do, is that we drink this poison and we think, I could never tell anybody. And I would tell you that one of the ways that God will work when you start to sow to the Spirit is he'll convict you, and you ought to confess to others. James 5:16 says that we should confess our sin to one another that we might be healed. And this guy that I was talking about, he said, well, I've tried that. I've confessed. And I said, well, let me ask you this. How many times have you confessed with me? Because we're close. And he said, well, and he started thinking, well, it's been twice in the last 2.5 years. Okay? And I said, well, listen, I think the Lord would give you part of his provision as the body of Christ is to confess and to live in the light where he can bring you freedom. And so I reminded him that he could find freedom in that. So I wonder for you, if you're someone right now, I also asked him, I said, hey, who, of the guys who are close to you that you're really walking with, who knew about this sin? He goes, no one. And so what he was allowing was he was drinking the poison and then hiding it and trying to cover up what it was doing to his life. And the Lord was going, hey, there's life here. You can drink of me every day, and my mercies are new, and you ought to confess to others so they can pray for you, and you ought to be a 1 John 1 guy who lives in the light, because there's freedom there. And so some of us tonight may feel really defeated because you go, man, I'm hiding stuff. And here's what the enemy's going to whisper in your ear. He's going to say, you couldn't tell anybody that. You shouldn't tell anybody that. You need to take that sin to your grave. And I would tell you, the Lord wants you to be free. And that's not from the Lord. Okay? So be reminded as you think about this. I don't know what your poison is. Okay? It could be, man, I'm just jealous and I'm coveting what other people have and it just makes me bitter. That could be some of the poison you're drinking. And you gotta go, Lord, would you help me to be reminded of who I am in Christ and that there's life in you? I don't know what it is. It could be that greed or stuff's going on in your life that you're going, man, I've been not being honest with people. I'm lying about stuff. I don't know what it is, but I would tell you that the Lord wants to set you free. His Spirit wants to convict. And when you confess, guess what happens after confess? Then you get a chance to repent. And repent means that you're confessing and you're turning from your sin. You're saying, and you're asking others to go, hey, would you help me? I don't want to walk in this darkness anymore. John 3 talks about how men love darkness. They're afraid their deeds will be exposed. And let me just tell you this. One of the best things that could happen, the best thing that happened to my friend was his deeds got exposed so that he could go, man. You know what he told me the other day? He was going to something at church here, and he said, for the first time in 2.5 years, I'm going to church, and I'm hiding nothing. Some of you think that's impossible, and it's not. The Lord will run to you. The Lord will go, hey, there's freedom with me. There's life with me. And so I want you to be reminded of that tonight. Here's what's interesting. As you look on here, look in verse 4. It says, with respect to this, they are surprised. Who's they and with what? To this, when you're talking about all this sin that was going on, what the non-believers do, what pagans choose to do, or the Gentiles in this case, He said they were, you know, drunkenness, passions, orgies, drinking parties, lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they're surprised. Look what it says. It says, when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. Hey, here's what I would tell you. As a follower of Christ, our lives should be surprising to a non-believing world. We should be salt and light. Others should see freedom in Christ. Not perfect, right? None of us are perfect. Don't hear me say that. But if you are hiding sin, not confessing, doing those things, you're not walking in the freedom the Lord has for you. And your life and my life should be surprising. And when you see somebody content in Christ, maybe even in your own life, when you say, man, I'm content in the Lord, it's a different life, and it should be surprising to people who don't know him. Like, why don't you join us in all we're doing? And isn't it interesting what it describes it? It says it's a flood of debauchery. It is a current that takes you down. And if you think, this is where we get deceived too, I think I can kind of flirt with some of the stuff the world's doing, dip my toe in that flood, and all of a sudden you're taken downstream. And some of you right now, you may be just on the start of that. Like, I'm dipping my toe in that, and I think I can control it, and I think I'm going to be okay. And the Lord's going, hey, I've got something better for you. Drink of me each day. Walk with me. Hey, my friend that I was telling you about, you know what's happened since all that hardness of heart? 65 days now, he has been seeking the Lord every day. He is seeing the Lord convict him of things. He goes, man, the Lord is showing up in my life in amazing ways. Friendships are deepening because they're talking about the Lord and he's being set free. He's going, man, he went and asked forgiveness from somebody that he goes, man, I have not, this person, I felt wrong by them, but the Lord just went, you need to go humble yourself and ask forgiveness. And he said, the Lord is answering prayers like I've never seen before. All of a sudden he goes, I'm in tune with the Spirit and I'm walking with him. And guess what? There's life there. That's what the Word tells us it's going to be like. So we don't have to be taken in this flood that's going to take us away. We can instead go, Lord, I'm going to surrender your plan. I'm going to drink of you each day. My friend is going through this book. And this isn't about this book. Okay, John Elmore, you guys know, is one of our pastors. He's spoken here before at Gather. And it's called Freedom Starts Today, and it's overcoming struggles and addictions one day at a time. And I'm only telling you this about this because this, my friend, is in this book, and there's no magic in this book, okay? There's no magic. What's happening is each day he gets before the Lord and says, Lord, would you help me today for the next 24 hours to say no to pornography and masturbation and lustful thoughts, and would you help me to walk with you by your strength, not mine? Did y'all hear how clear that is? It's just, hey, Lord, it's basically saying, if you don't show up, I'm going to chase this stuff that I think there's life in. And my friend the other day, he said, you know what's amazing? He said, this was one of the first days, he's like 60 days in, he goes, that I haven't even thought about porn. The Lord's beginning to free me. And he goes, you know what he said? He goes, I can't wait to walk with him more days because I can't wait to see what he's going to do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And he is worth your time. He's worth your investment. He's worth your pursuit. Okay, so be reminded of that tonight. Well, that verse 5 and 6 says, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel is preached, even those who are dead. And though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. Okay, so we should have compassion for folks that are surprised by our life. We shouldn't go, well, see, I told you, that's what you guys are doing. You're doing that crazy stuff over there. We should say, man, I want you to be free. And let me tell you what's freeing me up. It's only because of the power of Christ in me that frees me. Okay, then it goes on. Look at this. This is what I want you to notice the difference. Haven't y'all been challenged by 1 Peter? I mean, everything that he's calling us to do is so counter to what our flesh wants to do. Isn't that the way the Spirit works? So look at verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Okay, I love that this is what I want you to think about. I want you to move from time wasted to time well spent. You've spent enough time doing those other things. And this is an example. It says, be self-controlled and sensible. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, drinking of Him, walking with Him, knowing Him. You go, man, I just can't, I have no self-control. The question comes, are you seeking the Lord? Are you looking to walk with Him? Do you want to know Him? Because He wants to give you that fruit of His Spirit. So here's what I'd tell you on that one. You have spent enough time being impulsive and out of control and living a crazy life, because that's not where the Lord would have you. You spent enough time there. Look at verse 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Here's what I would say to that verse. I love the word earnestly. You're loving one another earnestly. Here's not the type of love of what you can get, or the type of love that loves those who love you. It's where Jesus says, hey, non-believers, you know, they love those who love them. That's pretty normal stuff. But to love those maybe who, even your enemies, is what Christ talks about. So I think you've spent enough time. Here's another one of those. You spend enough time just loving those who love you, or loving conditionally or temporarily. And you know, the only time that I love that way, I love earnestly, is when I'm walking with Jesus and reined in by His Spirit. And it's good, because the Lord empowers me to do that and can empower you. Verse 9, look at this. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Okay, you've spent enough time wanting to be served, right? The believer, the Son of Man, says in the Gospels, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. He's our example. So you spend enough time seeking your own and wanting to be served. Then verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. This is another one where I go, man, when I think about gifts God's given me, or when you think about gifts God's given you, what we tend to do is go, I want to use them on me. I want to use my gifts so that I can accumulate more or have more stuff. And the Lord would go, man, you have spent enough time using your gifts to serve yourself. You get to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Didn't you love earlier in 1 Peter where it says to not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil? Don't use it as a cover-up for evil like we were talking about earlier. Use it to serve God. And here's another example. When God gives you gifts, use it to serve one another. Love God and love His people. Love God and love your neighbor. Sounds consistent with what the Scripture would call us to. So you spend enough time using your gifts to serve yourself. And then look at verse 11. Whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wouldn't you love it if your words were ones that you go, man, when I talk to people, it's like they feel encouraged and loved and strengthened, speaking like the oracles of God. Guess what? If you know His word and you're sharing that with people, it's like you're speaking the oracles of God, because they are. And then it goes on to say, and whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. I don't know if you're like me, but I'm not naturally a servant-hearted guy. The Lord has to work with me to be that way. The Spirit has to empower me and strengthen me. And if you're one of those guys that maybe some of you are a little more naturally gifted at serving others, but I can just tell you that's going to run out if you try to do it on your own strength. And so the Lord's going, man, drink of me. And guess what the picture is? It's like he's filling your cup and your cup overflows. And when you're around people, the Lord just spills out because you're full of the Spirit. You're controlled. You're reined in by the Spirit. So I want to encourage you, that's what it looks like to walk with Jesus. So I wrote this down for those verses. You spend enough time passing on your human wisdom. Okay, you know, telling people, well, this is what I think you should do. You know, the chicken soup for the soul kind of stuff, okay? And then serving under you spend enough time serving under your own strength. I don't know if you get tired of trying to do that. When I'm doing that, when I go, Lord, I'm going to try to be a good guy today. I'm trying to serve. Instead, I want to go, Lord, would you help me to see others like you see them? Would your spirit help me to love others more than myself? And that's hard to do. And then desiring, you spend enough time desiring to bring glory to yourself. We love to try to take a kingly place, and the King of Kings is our Savior. He's the one that we should give our lives to and should live for. I was reading in a book recently about a New York Times Magazine article, and I want you to listen to this. It's secular researchers. Okay, these aren't believers, but here's what it says. Secular researchers concluded if you focus on doing and getting things that give you pleasure, it does not lead to happiness, but produces what one researcher dubs as the hedonic treadmill or the hedonic treadmill. You become addicted to pleasure, and your need for pleasure fix, for the pleasure fix, keeps growing. Does that sound like sin? Yes. You have to do more and more, and you're never really satisfied, and you're never really happy. You know what? I think God is merciful with us when he doesn't let us be satisfied with the things of the world. He's going, hey, that will never really. Remember the woman at the well in John 4, where he says, hey, if you, she said, well, she asked for a drink. He said, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. And so I think that's what the Lord would remind us of. If you try to drink of the things of this world, and if you get caught up in those and you start being enslaved to those things, it will never bring you life. It will only take life from you and take life from others. And so tonight, I want to remind you what Colossians 3 talks about. It says our life is now hidden in God, in Christ Jesus. And the Greek there is that your life is hidden. You are secure. The Greek means you're secure and you're satisfied. And I just would tell you, if you are in Christ, you don't have to go back to any of the life that you were doing before you knew him. You don't have to waste any more of your days. Now, there may be times when you struggle, but here's what I'd tell you. It's not about you being sinless. It's about you keeping your heart turned towards the Lord and watching the Spirit work in you daily. So my friend's not going to live a perfect life now that's going 65 days. In fact, there's been a couple of days of stumbling, but we are celebrating the fact that he is confessing, that he is repenting, and that he is turning to Jesus daily. And I go, that's what you and I can do every day. And so here's how I want to end tonight. I want to play a song over us, okay? We're going to listen to the song. And I want you to sit with the Lord, and I want you to say, Lord, what's the thing you would convict me of tonight? What's the thing that I've spent enough time doing? You fill in the blank. Let the Lord speak to your heart. And then I'm going to encourage you to do something else. I'm going to encourage you to find a friend and to share that with them and ask them to pray for you, that the Lord would give you freedom with that, that he didn't want you to be enslaved to that. Or you might be praying tonight and you go, Lord, I'm just so thankful that I'm in a good place. And it's only by your strength and your grace. And I pray that that would continue. And I'm going to seek you again tomorrow morning when I get up. I'm going to spend time wanting to know you, and I'm going to drink deeply from the Spirit. And I'm not going to keep drinking poison. And I'm not going to keep covering it up. So I want you to listen to this song. I want you to just sit with the Lord. Maybe if you have a journal, you write in that. If you've got your phone, take notes. Whatever the Lord lays in your heart, I want you to listen to him. And then I'm going to wrap us up here in just a minute.
Where would I be without you? Hold my
I love that song. I love what it says, that your story isn't over. Some of you came in tonight and you feel defeated. And the reason we have gathered, the reason we have a period before the G, is because we think this is the start of a sentence, a start of a new story for many of you. We pray that the Lord would use this place and these people to encourage you to go, man, the Lord is not done with you. And he doesn't want you to stay in that sin. He doesn't want you to go back there. He wants you to keep looking up at him. His grace can set you free. And so I want to pray that the Lord would do that. I want to pray for our time as we talk about what God's showing you and work, how he's at work. Tonight, maybe this was the first time you've sat with the Lord all week. That little 4.5 minutes, you took a big drink of the Lord and just said, man, Lord, you're convicting me, and I want to be obedient to where you're convicting me, and I want to confess and repent, whatever the Lord needs to do. Or I just want to be thankful tonight for the freedom that I have in Christ. Let me pray. Father, thank you that we can come to you every day. You've made a way for us to know you. We've been bought with a price. And so, Lord, would you help us to drink deeply in our relationship with you, to sow to the Spirit so that we don't chase the deeds of the flesh? Would you set people free in here? Would you help them be obedient to go talk with somebody, to confess, to repent, to ask for prayer, to take the provision that you've given them in the body of Christ, the church, and be encouraged and spurred on? And just thank you for my friends tonight. I pray the main thing they heard tonight was that you have a life for them that is different than before they knew you. And you want them to walk in freedom and in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.